Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today we're going to be talking about the test of the blessing. We started this last week. That was part one. This is actually part two. I thought we were done with it last week, but the Lord has continued to talk to me about it, so we're not. Actually, it wasn't last week. It was last podcast. Those of you who know me, my brother became very, very ill in early November, was rushed to the ER, and he was diagnosed with COPD, I think congestive heart failure and some other stuff, and cancer, lung cancer, stage four. And he was in the hospital for 3 weeks. They sent him home, telling him he had 1 to 6 months. We were all just devastated. About a week or so later, I can't remember exactly how many days it was, because I was grieving the entire time from when he was sent to the hospital, because I knew something was really wrong. He was rushed back to the ER. Again, he couldn't breathe. He stayed in several days. They sent him home with hospice and gave him 1 to 6 weeks this time, and he lived 6 days. He passed away on December 10th. Those of you who have tried to email me got an automatic response explaining why I was away from my email. Thank you for your understanding and for your patience. It has been a very difficult time for my family. Okay, now let's get into the message. But that's why there wasn't a podcast for a few weeks. Part one of the test of the blessing was November 28th. For those of you who follow me on Podbean, you've got that. It's already probably downloaded to your phone. For those of you who hear me on other channels, you can always go to my website, www.justpraisehim.today, and go to the radio show tab, and you can listen to the most recent, I think, 5 episodes there. Okay, for anyone who missed the first podcast, just to catch you up real quick, the test of the blessing is a time of testing that comes when things are going right. When maybe after a long wilderness or a period of great hardship, all of a sudden, you're getting breakthroughs. Suddenly, people show up in your life to bless you. Opportunities open up that you've been longing for, and money comes, blessing after blessing. Or maybe you got a raise or a bonus at work. Or you receive gifts of money. Money that you've needed for a long time. So suddenly, things have taken a turn for the better, and you are blessed. So let's talk about somebody in the Bible that flunked the test of the blessing. Actually, many somebodies. The Israelites. The Lord had rescued the Israelites from being slaves in Egypt using Moses and Aaron. So now here they are, free people, on their way to their promised land, which is the land of milk and honey. They know it's going to be a land of blessing. And they start acting up something terrible. About 3 days in, they start attacking Moses and Aaron because they don't know where the water is. Well, Moses and Aaron didn't know either because the Lord hadn't told them yet. So anyway, when the story begins, the Israelites are slaves in Egypt. They are overworked. They're treated very harshly. Moses, in fact, got into trouble for beating an Egyptian to death that he saw harshly beating on an Israelite slave because he knew they were his brethren. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee. And that means to put you in circumstances you don't really want to be in, and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. And that means to show you that you won't keep his commandments, regardless of what you said you would do. Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. That means to teach you that you need him, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And that means to teach you that we don't live by our paychecks, and we don't live by any investments we have. We live by the precious word of God. Okay, to summarize, what he wanted them to do. He said, basically, remember where you were. Keep my commandments, walk in my ways, fear my mighty power, or we can go back to me humbling you and refining you. And the reason is because he's trying to get them to the promised land. And he's trying to get you to the promised land too, if you'll cooperate. Okay, all through the wilderness, God provided the Israelites with supernatural provision. In a barren desert wasteland where there was no food, no water, no nothing. He provided both food and water for their entire journey. And he also did not let their shoes or their clothing wear out the whole time. All he wanted was their worship and their obedience. The same things he wants from us. So basically what the Lord is saying is, when I've started blessing you and giving you all the stuff you need and a lot extra besides, and you start worshiping or fearing anything besides me and my mighty power, then I will take those blessings away and you will be making a return trip to the desert so you can try again to get this right. The journey to our promised land is rarely easy because the Lord requires certain things of us before we can enter in. And however many trips back into the desert that takes, that's how many we're going to go. He requires, number one, that we worship him above all others. That means you must worship him and obey him more than your job, your bank account, more than your career, your education, your children, your grandchildren, your family. You must worship him more than you worship your spouse, your investments, more than your home, more than anyone or anything. Number two, he requires faith, real faith. And he will be sure you experience some circumstances where you can develop some real Bible-believing faith too. You can count on that. He requires our obedience. If there are areas you struggle in, he expects you to be working to overcome those. He expects us to do what we know is right. He requires us to treat people right. He requires we let go of our stubbornness and our wrong attitudes. He requires humility and will not tolerate pride. Can I just tell you that? He requires that we do not forget all he has done for us after we are living in the blessing. And when I say he will not tolerate pride, I don't mean just pride and arrogance. I mean the pride of your opinions of how things are supposed to be done if they don't agree with the Word of God. King David, who actually broke a number of the Ten Commandments, including murder, adultery, and coveting another man's wife, was and is to this day known for his great worship of the Lord. He wrote many of the Psalms in your Bible. He began his life being exceedingly obedient to the Lord his God. 1 Chronicles lists 6 wives King David had before he met Bathsheba, who was at the time married to Uriah the Hittite. In Bathsheba, King David met a woman he was willing to kill for, literally. A woman he was willing to compromise his walk for. There is the danger sign. And it is one many of us have run blindly past at some point in our lives. I know I have. This is the biggest red flag of all, because on that flag is written the word idolatry. Any person you are willing to do wrong for is an idol in your life. The Word of God says God will abolish the idols. So let's talk about what that means. Isaiah 2:18, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. The word idols here in the original language means false gods that are worth nothing. Utterly means completely. And abolish means to change, to cause to pass, or to pass on quickly. Let me explain some of that. If the person you idolize is your spouse or some other relationship, he can cause that relationship to change where I promise you, you won't idolize them anymore. Can I just tell you that? Or he can cause them to pass or to just move on out of your life. Either way, he's got lots of ways of dealing with stuff, y'all. One of the tests of the blessing is if you have wrong beliefs. I can't even number the number of people that I have met who don't tithe themselves, but they get upset and expect other people to tithe to them. I'm talking about people in ministry. Numerous times I have met people with this attitude. Sometimes they'll say, oh, well, we put everything into the, you know, the church. We put everything we have as a tithe. Really? But you're living on it, so it can't be a tithe if you're living on all that, right? I mean, because the tithe goes into the storehouse, the church. But I didn't say that. But when you don't tithe, and a lot of ministers don't tithe, and this bothers me really bad because I know they read the Bible. You have invoked a spiritual law. You reap what you sow. When you didn't tithe, you sowed disobedience, so now you're reaping disobedience. Be upset, but don't be upset at somebody else. Be upset at yourself. I'm just saying. I have seen this again and again. I've seen this for years in people in ministry. They don't give, and they don't tithe, but they expect other people to give and tithe to them. If you don't keep that channel of blessing and tithing going, why would God keep it coming to you? Do you really think you're that anointed? Because I beg to differ. The anointing always belongs to God. If you're not obedient, he'll make some changes and get your attitude straightened out so you can become obedient. And they do this after God did all kinds of miracles to meet their needs and put them into ministry like they wanted to be put into ministry. And I'm talking about numerous different people here that I've met over the years and watched God put them into ministries. Disobedience after such a time of blessing. And the Lord saying, after I've given you the ministry you asked me for, after I've delivered you from that secular job, and as I was making these notes, I saw a vision in the spirit of hordes of demons waiting and watching a man in this vision to fall into idolatry when his ministry was just starting. And they laughed. And they wrung their hands as they were just waiting for it to happen so they could attack him. Part of this test of the blessing is, oh, I've arrived. I've arrived. I'm in ministry now. God understands. It won't hurt. God won't mind. Yes, he will mind if you disobey. Yes, he will. He will mind if you disregard his word and you think you're going to teach his word. You better think again. He will get that straightened out and you won't enjoy it. We don't ever arrive. What has happened is you have come through a time of hardship when the Lord was trying to get your attention. But now you have entered another time of testing, but instead of being one of hardship and lack, it's one of abundance and blessing. You have entered the test of the blessing. The test of the blessing precedes a promotion if you pass, which few of us ever do, and probably another wilderness, possibly a much more intense one if you don't. Since the Lord did not get your attention the first time like he wanted, you will get to go to another wilderness where he will remove more of your blessings until finally you start to get it, that they are coming from him. And if you want to keep them, you will give him more than lip service. You will give him obedience and you will give him all your worship, or he will just keep taking blessings until you figure that out. Because you have failed to recognize and appreciate and give full devotion to the one who blessed you. And you think you can just be careless and do whatever you want with all those blessings. And when this happens, he has no choice but to return you to the place of no blessing until you learn obedience. We all know when we're walking through a wilderness, or generally we do. We're being tested. We know if we're in the wilderness, we're being tested. We know to stay aware and do our best to pass the test, right? But most of us, including me, I didn't know this either, don't think about any of that when we're going through a time of abundance and blessing. We think that we're doing okay then, or we wouldn't be being blessed. But that's not necessarily true. The blessings can be a test. And sometimes things that you would never think would be a test. In High Place Warriors, when we started High Place, when God had me raise up this army of prayer warriors back in January and February, I felt we were trying to organize them. Cynthia was helping me. We were trying to organize them, and she suggested from her military background that we give them titles and ranks. And I didn't see any reason why that wouldn't work. I thought, okay, that'll give other people to help manage them. And so we were trying to organize them into companies of 50s with some other people that were over 10s, like one over 50 and then one over the, you know, the tens, after the pattern of Moses in the Bible. Okay, so we gave them all the titles. And that went on for a while, and then the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, take all the titles away. And I said, all of them? He's like, yeah, all of them, everybody's. I said, okay. So since Cynthia and John had helped me, and they were the highest ranking under me, I wanted to tell them first so they would hear it from me. And so I sent them an email and said, basically, we're taking the titles. Nobody has a title anymore. They got very upset and thought that I meant that they were like out of the group or something. And they immediately started emailing people and freaking out and all that. Anyway, so all the titles were pulled. And Cynthia and John started up their own group. And they said, well, you can keep your titles if you come over here with us or whatever. After this went on for a while and I caught some flack and some people sent me some really, really nasty emails about what a terrible person I was and all that, the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, the titles were a pride test. And I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. So, you know, the titles were meant to be a blessing and to be to the people, but they were also a way to organize so many people. There were so many people starting out, and I was one person. I couldn't organize that many people. I'm already running a ministry. I couldn't do that too. And so with the help that I had, them having military background, I thought that the three of us together could organize it, but I didn't realize that the real plan wasn't to organize it. Their real plan was to take it. Anyway, that's what was going on with all that. But those titles, as it turned out, were God testing them to see who had pride. And so when they got angry that the titles were taken away in High Place Warriors, they jumped ship to the other group. And I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. I feel like I failed. I did something wrong. And he said, no, the titles were a test. They were a pride test. I'm like, all righty then. Moving right along. So anyway, I was studying Deuteronomy 8 the end of November, and that was when the Lord showed me that when we are walking in blessing after blessing, we are still being tested, and if we flunk those tests, we get to go back to the desert, where we will be disciplined for being in idolatry and whatever else we were getting into. So beware if you have been walking in blessing after blessing, especially if it's right after a season of hardship or a wilderness season. Especially beware if you have failed to do right with all the Lord has blessed you with, because he will be setting you up to be refined, if that is the case. I think I had some more notes I was going to read to y'all. Hang on a second. When you are coming out of the wilderness and the Lord starts sending you blessings, and he sends people to bless you and extra money to bless you and blessings you didn't have to earn, and he opens doors of opportunity to you, and he grants you that house or that job or that pay raise or that spouse or that child you begged him for, and you start being careless about the blessings and you just go on your merry way, not doing what you know he wants you to do, but doing it your way instead, then you might as well start packing for your return trip to the desert, because that's where you're going. So, let's talk about what the signs are if you're being put back into the wilderness. They're pretty easy to recognize once you've been there. In the wilderness, when you start going into a wilderness season, all of a sudden your current life will just start falling apart. And it will fall apart in ways you cannot fix. And when you try to fix the things that are breaking or falling apart, the way that has always worked before, none of those ways will work. That's one of the signs that you're in the wilderness or you're going in. It will fall apart because of illness, because of financial need, job loss, relationship loss, or all of the above. One by one, your comforts will be stripped away. Often you will be forced into living circumstances you do not desire. And let me just mention something that I learned very recently. Who you have to live with in a wilderness season is very important. It has been my experience that he generally arranges it, so you have to stay with someone you have unresolved issues with. If y'all remember in my first wilderness, the very beginning of the Wilderness Companion book, I was forced to stay with my father. Okay. Generally in the wilderness, your circumstances will be reduced so far down that you have to muster faith to get you through. You have to start believing God because everything else is taken away. If you have savings, I've seen this happen to more than one person. If you have money put back, you will have to spend that before you enter into the wilderness. God will make it so you have to spend it. Because he's not going to let you have money or credit cards or anything else to get you through the wilderness. If you have credit cards and you start maxing them out to pay everything when you're going through the wilderness, then your real wilderness hadn't started yet. It'll start when your credit cards are maxed out. I'm just telling y'all, this is the way this works. I've been through enough of these desert trips. That's why I wrote a book about it. Actually, two books about it. The Wilderness Companion and the Wilderness Companion Study Guide. Because I have made so many mistakes that God just went ahead and gave me a ministry made out of mistakes. That is the truth. I have some kind of anointing for that. That's just really like, Lord, I've told him this more than once. Lord, this is really bad. I mess up. And that's what you build the ministry on? Really? Okay. Well, it's not my choice. So anyway, pay attention to who you have to stay with in the wilderness. You have unfinished business with that person. Look closely at the unpleasant jobs you hold in the wilderness. Who do you have to work for that's hard to work for? You have unresolved issues that will be revealed through those jobs. Look, too, if you are kept alone in the wilderness. That may mean the Lord cannot put you around people because you have attitude issues. Come on, y'all. You got to work with him if you want to get out of the wilderness. Or else you'll just be there like year after year after year. How many times have you been in a hard spot and you bargained with the Lord and you made him promises about, oh, Lord, if you'll just give me that job that pays, you know, $10,000 more a year, I'll tithe to you. I'll tithe to you. If you'll do this or that, I'll do this or that. Did you keep your promise? If you did not keep your promise, you need to repent right now. If you're failing the blessing test, you need to repent now. And we all need to always be on the lookout for wilderness seasons. But also, we need to recognize if we're in a season of blessing because we're still being tested when we're being blessed. As he's taking you into the promised land, Deuteronomy chapter 8, he's saying, remember. Remember where you've been. Remember what I brought you out of. And remember that I'm God and you're not. And keep me first. That's what he's saying. And if we fail to do any of those things, he'll jar our memory in ways that we will not enjoy. That's all I have for y'all tonight. For those of you who are new to learning about the wilderness, I wrote a book called The Wilderness Companion that is a very raw look at the wilderness seasons that I went through as God was teaching me this stuff. And I'm talking about times of no job and no money. When I lived in Dallas, and they were terrifying. They were so scary. And the last one in 2009-2010, I almost became homeless. I mean, it was terrifying. And mine were not from not tithing. I started tithing the minute I got saved. I started tithing because mom had always taught me that you're supposed to give 10%. And I never gave it before that because I wasn't a Christian. But I've been very, very faithful to tithe. And after I studied Malachi chapter 3, I saw that it says we rob him if we don't bring the tithes and offerings. So I started giving gratitude offerings on top of the tithes every time I give too. I just want to be in compliance. I want to be doing what he says to do. You know, I don't ever need money bad enough that I need to steal from God. And that's what keeping the tithe is, stealing from God. Malachi chapter 3 says, you've robbed him if you kept it. If you hand me $10 of your money and I have $90 of my money and I go to the store and I spend all that, I stole $10 from you. It's the same with him. If we spend everything we get, we've stolen from him. And I don't care how many times somebody says, that's Old Testament, that's under the law, blah, blah, blah. No, it's a spiritual law. There is a difference. It is a spiritual law. It is always going to be true, no matter what. I don't care what part of the Bible it's on. I don't care if you write it on the cover. It's still a spiritual law. You can do it or not do it. Don't send me no nastygrams about it because I won't even read them. Okay, that's all I've got for y'all tonight. I hope that this helps you. Somebody needs this, or he would not have given me a part two of it. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where all of a sudden it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are times of great uncertainty and change. They are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many of these wilderness experiences in my own life, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led into the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving your provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com in print, Kindle, and new audiobook versions. The Wilderness Companion. Don't go into the desert without it. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.